T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In studio right now with us, Jim Brewer, one of my favorite guys. And he's got a residency out by me in Huntington. So if you are around the Long Island, New York area, starting at the Paramount Theater, and you got the dates on the 17th of February, March 3rd, April, he's going to be there for once a month at least for a while. So you could check that out. It's a lot of information we'll get to. We'll go to the Paramount in Huntington. Check out the website and Jim's social media, all that good stuff. What's happening, Jim? How are you, man?
I'm excited about this. I get to sit in traffic on the LIE. Leaving Saturday shows. I can leave my jersey home at 5 a.m. so I can make my 8 o'clock show.
So you live in Jersey.
Listen to miserable Long Islanders.
You're right. They are.
You're one of them. You're one of them, though.
I am.
Why are you so miserable?
I left. I don't know how I got out. And this is what's amazing about Long Islanders. If you move to Jersey, it's like moving to Pakistan. You move to Jersey?
It's so true. I mean,
you dog Jersey all the time.
I do. I mean, I can't get there. I don't want to go there. It's impossible.
It's because you guys just, you don't leave. You don't leave.
Nah, I want no part of it. I want to stay.
They don't go anywhere.
I know. It's true.
They sit on their lawn and they look at the guy parking in the front. They get out of the chair and they just stare at the guy. Look at this kid. Do it. What are you?
It is true. Parallel parking watching is definitely a pastime for all of us.
So was that the catalyst for your escape? You saw all these folks that never left. They were miserable. He's like, I got to get out of here.
I got to entertain the troops. That's who it is. No, I started going into entertainment, and then my parents hit a bombshell. I grew up on the same street my whole life. So we neighborhood, we all knew each other growing up. And then they went to Florida. Said, we're just going to go look at places in Florida. And they came back and said, we bought a home. Went, what? And I went from Long Island, we're saying sick, mint. Dude, that's mint. You see my new shoes? They're mint. And I went down there and there were cowboy boots and Bo Cephas.
What part of Florida?
I was near Clearwater, Palm Harbor.
Oh, okay,
but
yeah.
I never heard a country. And I said, what? You ain't listen to Bo Cephas? He don't listen to no Bo Cephas.
Hank Williams Jr., folks. Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Why you got a dangling cross earring in you? Look, he got a chain on his wallet. Look at Mayor Stanley. Look at this. What's wrong with you?
So you're telling me you had trouble fitting in?
At first, yeah. Yeah. And they don't. That's the first time, too, where I realized there really is a little bit of a north-south thing. Like, I would go places, and they're like, where are you from, man? Where you get that accent from?
Yeah.
New York. Oh, Yankee, huh? Like, what, Yankee? I'm a Met fan. No, you don't understand. You don't understand.
Me miss home, man. Yeah. I'm from Texas.
Yeah, you don't.
This prejudice is really making me nostalgic. Jeez.
No, say that. No, don't say that.
But yeah, it was. And then I came back up here, got, you know, SNL and whatever. And then I wanted to live in Long Island. My wife wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Really? Well, where's she from?
Like, I can't. Jersey.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
You won that battle, right?
Yeah, but now I won the battle of doing shows at the Paramount.
You got to get a helicopter. It's the only way to do it.
That's all right. I go early. I'll go early. Like I said, I'll leave at 5 a.m. I should be there by showtime.
Right, exactly. Maybe. Gio and Jones or Jim Brewer in studio. You're seemingly always on. Now, I'm not around you in your personal life, right? But listening to you and interviews that you do, your shows, it's always high energy. It's always on. Is there a balance for you where you're like relaxed and not doing anything, or is your brain always in this like high gear craziness?
Well, it depends on my environment. I'm a chameleon. If I gotta go high energy, I'll go. If I gotta Bob and Weave with the comedy and events, and we'll go there. Sometimes I go, like, today we're going to be speaking about the tragedies. I'm like, well, okay, here we go. Let's go here.
Yeah.
So, no, it depends. But, yeah, a lot of times I'm on. Right. Life's too short. So I'm always looking for the funny to get out or to cheer the room up.
Right.
My attitude is we're all here on borrowed time.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter where I worked, whatever I went, we're all stuck here. You know, until you're a gazillionaire, and even then, you're still playing to somebody. Someone's always coming after you.
Yep.
So we're all stuck in whatever we're stuck in. So let's have fun while we're here.
I knew I like your style. Now, when did this entertainment bug hit you? Is there a moment where you can point
yes.
to? Yes. Like,
there was a couple. There was when I was, I think, sixth grade, my brother-in-law asked my parents, so, do you mind if I play this record for Little Jimbo? There's only like two curses. And it was a picture of a guy with the fake nose and glasses and an arrow through his head. And I immediately, in sixth grade, go, ah, he looks funny. It was Steve Martin, mm-hmm. Let's Get Small. And he played a record, yep. And I didn't know there was a record where it was comedy, and I just couldn't wrap my head around, this wasn't a band. It was a record, but it was comedy. So that was the first bug, and then I saw Richard Pryor. You know, I waited till my parents went to bed,
mm-hmm.
And they're like, on HBO tonight, don't miss Richard Pryor live. And he came out, and I still have that thing memorized from beginning to end. That guy really started it for me. And then I went to George Carlin, and I was just oh. And then Eddie Murphy was close to my age, so that was like my real big hero. I wanted to be the white Eddie Murphy.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, and yeah. You,
that's what I wanted to do.
You mentioned George Carlin. I don't think there's been anybody who's come close to filling that void since he's passed away.
No, and there never will be.
Yeah, and then it won't be. And I realized that just recently. I said, stop looking for that because it's not going to happen. Because he was like my guru. I mean, he, you know, some people have like Deepak Chopra. Like I had George Carlin. I mean, this guy was. He set the path for me on how I was supposed to think on certain things. I mean, I wasn't around in his 70s and his rise, but you know the books that he would write. I went to one of his HBO specials, and
me too.
He made things feel right to me. Even and I said, you know, I'm angry about things. You know, I'm cynical about things, and then he would put it in such a way, be like, it's okay to feel that way.
Yes.
And I miss that guy. Desperately.
No, he was brilliant and probably the greatest comedy writer in history.
Yeah.
Where Richard was just natural. He would take every part of life and make it a character. I came out, and the vodka said, go ahead, Rich. You do that. And the tire said, oh!
It got good to me.
Right.
Then the police showed up.
And they don't shoot cars.
Yeah. They got magnums, too.
They got guns, too. And I went back in my house. Something about the woods.
Yeah. What a great, unbelievable.
I got this monkey.
Hold it. My monkey died.
Now, don't forget, I'll be chasing you as a mugger. See, now, great to me, still one of the greatest specials of all time. But what I learned about George, he probably has the best of every single bit you could. If you want to go toe to toe with a smart bit, he'll knock you out the smart bit. If you want to go observable, he'll knock you out there. If you want to, George was the best writer in history. In history and philosophy.
Yeah.
He had a heavy
still
philosophy.
Still holds up.
Yeah.
Which is
oh, hands down.
And he's been dead for almost 10 years now. It still holds up. It's
yes.
amazing. He could see things happening. It's
yes.
just fascinating.
Yeah, I miss him.
So how did you hone your craft? How did you get to the nitty-gritty and say, okay, this is going to be my style? Did you take a little bit from Richard,
yes.
a little bit from George, and then mash that up and say, okay, this is me?
Yeah, and then the other big influence was Kinison.
Yeah.
Sam Kinison was the mm-hmm. first. I'm going to say he revolutionized mm-hmm. loud.
Yeah.
And he brought the rock star.
Yeah.
He was the first guy to ever bring a rock star. We just, yeah, oh, you're married? Remember this face? Oh! Ah! And I've never seen a crowd react like that. So it was a little bit of all of them. a little bit of all of them, and I would go to open mic nights, and you're trying to find who you are.
Well, that's the toughest thing, right? Yeah. And then eventually, even though you're influenced by all these people, you have to find you.
You have to find you.
If you're never you, then you're never going to be any good.
And that's so, you think you know what you are until you get it. And I really, at the end of the day, I'm a blue collar, street corner, in the garage, hangout guy. And the guy, people are like, dude, good brew is a pisser. And the pisser, he's a pisser. And I want you, because I vent about my family, and I vent about the neighbors, and I vent about everything, and I act everyone out. And so it's, I'm a family guy, deep moral, blue collar, family, faith, try to do the right thing guy at the end of the day. And I throw that whole mix on stage.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you incorporate your daily life, the family life, all that.
That's all I got. I don't do politics. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't do any of that. It's just, even then,
Jim Brewer in studio with us. I love listening to you when you're on with Stern, and I think that, you know, he's right now the best interviewer there is.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
He asked you a question once that I thought was insulting, and then I thought about it a little bit more, and I was like, man, I don't know how I would react if he said that to me, especially the respect I've got for him. He said, you know, I always thought you'd be more famous than you are.
Right? I hear that all the time.
But, like, I don't, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, but when I think about you, I don't think about missed opportunities or should be more famous. Like, when I think Jim Brewer, I think of a guy who's highly successful. Every time you're on, I want to listen to what you have to say.
Sure.
You were there on SNL with a successful run for a long time. I mean, you're going to sell out all these shows. I mean, which are you, glass half full, glass half empty when it comes to that question?
There was a time. Now, I had a defining moment, which I'm really enjoying all my decisions of late. I'm really enjoying my decisions. I like going to bed going, I'm going to wake up in the morning feeling real good.
Yeah.
I got nothing to worry about.
Right.
You know, so what I mean by that is when I was on SNL, I'm not going to lie to you, I was really taken back. When you see the other side of the curtain, not the cast members and all that, but other Hollywood coming in, you're like, how does the public have zero clue that this exists? Mm-hmm. How does this person get away with that? And how does this one get away with that? And the cutthroat and the mean, and you'll do anything to get to the top. I'll use the word traumatizing. It was very traumatizing. And my wife was very, she didn't care about celebrity or anything like that. And drove me nuts. It was my third year. And she's like, you know, and I start smoking pot. She's like, you're smoking pot. You come home and you complain and you're getting mean. You said when a job made you this way, you'd quit. I'm like, you don't quit, son. Is there something? I'm the goat. They're making a doll after me. There's four dolls. I'm one of them. Joe Pesci called me to do a sketch with De Niro. Do you know who I am?
Amazing.
So how'd you find that Xanadu, that place of contentment?
I had a hard time. It ended. The SNL ended, and I said, let's start a family. And that was, you know, my agents at the time, like, you gotta come to LA if you really want to make it. And exact words were like, I mean, if you're really content with your little family life that's making the money you do, I mean, it's good, but if you want the real thing, you come out here. Ha, 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 ha. We'll make you shine. We'll give you all you ever wanted in life. You know you're better than this guy and that guy. Gonna make you sick and starring, and your name ain't up there. Come out to LA. Come out to LA.
my God. And you somehow were able to resist that.
I resisted. And even then, you know, I haven't talked about this, but I truly feel a lot was clipped from me as time went on.
In what way?
I'll give you a... it's so far gone. Certain style of what I had, okay. Certain... I remember people coming up like, hey, man, have you seen what's going on over there? Like, no. What's going on? I just thought they're totally doing what you do, but they change it. And there was a guy I worked with, right, a manager, and I told him an idea. I said, well, I want to be the – I don't want to tell you. I want to do this and that. Let's get a tour bus.
Right.
Let's be the next rock thing. This has never... I had a band. We were going out. We booked a bunch of shows. Let's bring a crew. And this will be... you know, this has... No one's ever seen this. And I end up... He did some things, and I found out, and you let him go. And you're like, dude, I can't have dark. I can't have... Hey, listen, I've been working on some things. So I see the other side of you now. I see the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have Siths around me. I have a child on the way. I need good life people.
Yeah.
And we were right in the middle of the tour, and I found out this is pretty much he sold an idea that became very successful.
Wow.
Very successful. Made multi millions of dollars, and it was very publicized. And that, I'm like, we're getting guns. We're getting find me tapes. I'd be in my basement going, I'm getting the tapes of exactly what I told him.
Oh my
And God. My wife, she's like, you don't want to be where they're at in life. We have a child. Watch what happens to these people in years. And I tell you, I'm telling you, if I didn't have that,
right, she talked me off the deep end. Yeah.
She talked me off the ledge a lot.
Yeah. Wow.
And as time moves on now, And when you deal with things like mortality or someone gets sick in the family and you get that earthquake in life and you realize, you know what? My wife and I started living in the attic of someone's house in Franklin Square for $600 a month, you know, and Eric, it's 90 degrees in the summer and she's like, don't turn the fan on, it'll start. And we're putting baby powder on ourselves to cool us off. No, this will cool you off at night and put a fan in the... All that journey, what I have now, I got three kids in private school. We've traveled every continent. Life is good.
There you go.
Life is good.
That's sweet.
So we never came out here. Damn you.
Jim Brewer, who is just absolutely amazing. The residency at the Paramount Theater in Huntington, New York. Is there a website that you have? It's got the dates up there, too.
Yeah, I guess it's officialjimbrewer.com.
Okay,
officialjimbrewer.com. You'll see it.
Yeah, you'll find it. Just find it.
People find it. All the shows are different. It's stand-up, storytelling. Like, you know, if I want to tell a story like this, and I have sets for each one. And there's
cool.
It's not just a comedy show. It's stand-up. Then it's going to be storytelling set. There's screens on the side with sketches and characters. And then the end, I do a rock improv thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
That's just perfect for you.
Yeah, it's going to be
every bit of you out there
exactly.
in this show.
Yeah.
All right, well, we are running out of time, unfortunately. So,
that was great, man.
Jim,
congrats.
Yeah. I had fun. Whatever your journey is, good. You know, enjoy it.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
I can tell. It says it all in your face.
All over
right.
face.
You got a stack of ones in his bag and... That journey, we know exactly where it's going.
Tell me which way you're going to run.
I just want to know so I don't run over you.
Jim Brewer, check back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.